Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm, live link at thetrumpet.com. The Bible is the most misunderstood book in history, but the Bible was inspired by God to be valuable and useful for mankind. And so this book that should be of the greatest value to every single person on this earth is the most misunderstood book. Let's notice a passage in 2 Timothy 3. And if you have your Bible, please get it out. Let's take a look at these scriptures together and see what the Bible reveals about why it's misunderstood. And then we can understand how it can be opened up to our minds. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. It says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And so here we see a key point. The scriptures will reprove and correct the reader, and most people don't want to be corrected. Reproof is an expression of blame or disapproval, and the scriptures show us where we are wrong and where we need to change. And so many people don't like to be corrected, and because of that, they have a hard time with the Bible. James 1 tells us that we have to do the Word of God, not just hear it or read it. And James writes that if we look into the Word of God and don't do it, we are like a person who looks into a mirror and then walks away. Without the scriptures, we don't have that spiritual mirror showing us where we have some dirt on ourselves, where our character needs to be improved. We don't see where we are wrong and need to change. Have you ever had a day where you came home from work or school and you looked into a mirror only to realize that you had something on your face? That's happened to me. And then you think back to all the interactions you had throughout the day. It's embarrassing to think about it, because you were talking to all these different people, not knowing there was something right there on your face. And so it's embarrassing to think about that. And if you had known, in the instance I'm thinking of personally, if I had known that there was something on my face, if I had a mirror right there to look, I would have cleaned it off to save myself that embarrassment of talking to somebody with this dirt or this smudge on my face. I would have gotten rid of the dirt, but I didn't know it was there at the time because I didn't have a mirror with me. But people simply do not like to be reproved and corrected. But it's important that we take correction and that we change. It's essential for our growth. And because most people don't like to be corrected, that is why it is so difficult for them to understand the Bible and to agree on what it says. That's a key point. People don't agree on what the Bible says and don't understand what the Bible says if they don't like to be corrected by it. Notice Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, which you can get for free at thetrumpet.com, it's a great course, it says this: "God's word opens up our innermost thoughts. It cuts deep, and it cuts both ways. When our Heavenly Father rebukes and corrects us through His Holy Scriptures, we usually do not like to admit our errors, our faults, or our wrong ways. So men began centuries ago to interpret the Bible. Instead of acknowledging the truth, they sought to justify their own ways by perverting God's word, to the extent that today they would rather listen to lies. It is all too easy to deceive ourselves and say, 'Well, I don't want to be corrected, so the Bible must not actually say that what I'm doing is wrong. It probably means something else. That's the way many people interpret the Bible. We don't want to deceive ourselves on this point. Trumpet editor-in-chief, Mr. Gerald Fleury, wrote this in the booklet, How to Be an Overcomer. He said, "Did you know that you can hear the word of God and at the same time deceive yourself? Out of everyone on earth, very few ever even hear the true word of God, and a great majority who do actually deceive themselves. Self-deceit destroys your happiness and deprives you of blessings. It makes your Bible muddled and confusing in many ways. In fact, God says he will actually hide his revelation from you." Can you imagine that? God's revelation actually being hid from us. There's a lot to think about in that quote there. Mr. Fleury says that self-deceit destroys happiness and deprives us of blessings. So that's a good measuring stick in our own lives. How happy are we? How many blessings of God do we have? And if it's not to the level that we would hope, then maybe we need to take a look at self-deceit. Continuing from this quote, it says, "However, if you overcome self-deceit, you will have a strong spiritual house that can weather any storm. Your life will overflow with joy and happiness. God will pour out blessings on you. You will understand your Bible better. These are all promises from God." "So are you deceiving yourself?" he asks. "How can you know? And how can you break away from self-deceit?" He said, "Here is the plain direct answer from your Bible." And he quotes James 1 and verse 22. "Be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." He says, "You deceive yourself by hearing and not doing, and you break free of that deceit by doing God's word." Very important truth there, and something that many people don't consider when it comes to understanding the Bible. But if we hear the word of God and we don't do it, then the Bible becomes muddled to us. It becomes confusing. We don't understand it. And it's because of self-deceit. We have to do what the Bible says. And as we do it, our understanding is opened by God. Notice Psalm 111 and verse 10. It says, "The fear of the eternal is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do his commandments." If we want to understand the Bible and have a good understanding of it, we have to do all of God's commandments. Now, I help with a speech class here at Armstrong College, where we're broadcasting from, and recently the sophomore students gave demonstration speeches. And one speech that was especially effective had to do with origami, you know, the folding of paper to make different shapes. And now what made that instruction so effective was that we followed the steps along with the man who was giving the speech. And I know that I learn best when I do what I am being taught. I can hear instruction, even very detailed instruction on a topic, and still I don't feel like I really understand what I'm doing. I can't remember all of it, and I can't remember all the steps. Until I do it myself and I practice it and I put the steps into action in my life, then I feel like, okay, I understand how to do, you know, whatever it is that I'm paying attention to. In this case, in this speech, it was origami. And in the same way, we can't just hear the word of God. We have to do it. We have a good understanding when we do all God's commandments. And I think most of us would agree that the best method of learning is doing what we're being told in any subject. You know, we can listen to somebody explain how to play the piano every single day. If we don't practice playing the piano ourselves and following those instructions, we're not going to become much of a piano player, if any at all. We need to be doers and not just hearers only. And that's the point. And again, that's why most people don't understand the Bible, because they don't do what it says. Notice who God will work with and reveal his truth to. What type of an attitude is God looking for? Let's look at Isaiah 66 and verse 2. Isaiah 66 and verse 2, and it says this, "For all those things has my hand made, and All those things have been, says the Eternal. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. Now, contrite means feeling or showing sorrow and remorse for a sin or a shortcoming. God's word, it does correct us. And then the question is, will we be contrite and admit our guilt and work to change? Or will we just cast off the correction and deceive ourselves that the Bible doesn't really mean what it says? That's an important question to consider. If we really study our Bibles with a willing and a ready attitude to learn, to understand, and to be corrected, knowing going into it that we're going to be corrected, and then we take that correction and we use it, you know, we're going to have success. We're going to have growth. We're going to understand the Word of God. But if we turn from it and say, well, that can't really, the Bible can't really mean that I'm wrong, then it's going to be close to our understanding. People are deceived about their Bibles because they don't want to be corrected and do what the Bible says. People do not understand the Bible because they do not obey God. They have not yielded to His will. They are filled with the fear of men rather than of God. Don't we see that all the time? Even today in some of the social movements in this country, people are so afraid of being accused of something or being called, you know, insensitive or you know, being against a certain group, that whatever the mob mentality is, they're willing to go along with it, as opposed to saying, well, what does the Word of God say? See, we should fear God and not men. But it's often reversed today. People fear men and they don't fear God. People often tremble at the thought of what people say or will say instead of what the Word of the living God has to say. And we're all prone to peer pressure. And so that is something to consider. We've all been affected by that type of peer pressure at times. Even, of course, like I said, in politics today, we see that mob mentality. It's just the emotion, the opinion of the mob being the most important thing. Well, what about the Word of God? That is truly the most important thing. And we need the fear of God, the respect of God, fearing to disobey Him. We're going to take a quick break. After that, we'll look at another major cause of people not understanding the Bible, and we want to make sure that we do understand it. So we'll look at another cause of not understanding the Bible right after this quick break here on Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We'll be right back.
The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The correspondence course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word.
Welcome back to Live by Every Word here on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, online at kpcg.fm. If you've missed any past episodes, you'd like to catch up on those, you can find the archives at kpcg.fm or at thetrumpet.com, and that goes for all of the programming here on KPCG. I'm Dwight Falk. Thanks for spending some time with me today. In the first half, we saw that people often do not obey God, and they will not let the Word of God correct them, and so they are blinded to the meaning of Scripture by self-deceit. But there is also a master deceiver. There's another power at play that causes deceit. Would you believe that this deceiver is actually the god of this world? In other words, the whole world, except for the very few who are following God, the whole world worships a false god. Most people simply won't believe that, but it is biblical. Let's look at a few passages that show that. Let's see 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. It says, "In whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Here the truth of God is compared to a glorious light, illuminating everything, so we can see clearly. But Satan has blinded people's minds to the light of God's true gospel. Now, if you've ever taken a nap in the afternoon, which sometimes is nice to do if you can, you know that it can be the brightest part of the day outside. And at the same time, if you've got some pretty good curtains, it can be completely dark in your room. And in that dark room, you can't see much of anything. Well, Satan has shut the curtains on the minds of the majority of humanity, to where they just don't see the light of God's truth. They just don't see it. The light of God's truth is in the Bible, but the curtains on their minds are closed. They just don't see it. Notice Revelation 12 and verse 9. It says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Notice there, Satan deceives the whole world. He is the god of this world today. And there are many different religions in the world. But the one thing that they all have in common is that they don't keep God's word. I mean, just consider all the different religions that you can think of. And then ask yourself, do they live by every word of God? Do they even claim to? I mean, there's some major religions out there with lots of people in them. But do they live by every word of God? Do they even teach it? You know they don't, if you've looked into it. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15, notice this. It says, speaking of some of these false religious leaders, it says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Satan is a deceiver, and he transforms himself into an angel of light, and his false ministers appear to be righteous. But we are told to consider their works. Do they do the word of God? Do they do it? Do they live it? Do they perform it? As it said there in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 15, "Their end shall be according to their works." And so people can sound righteous. That's not too hard to do. But what about the works? What about what they do? Do they live by every word of God? The judgment that Christ gives is according to our works. You know, either they have been according to the word of God or they've been against it. They've been deceitful works. And so there is a record kept of the works of man. Now, why would God allow this deception to happen? Well, God isn't calling the majority of mankind yet. That's a very important point. People that are deceived and they don't know God's word, God's not judging them yet because they don't know the truth. They'll still have to give an account, of course, for their works, but they're not being eternally judged at this point because their minds are closed to God's truth. God is only calling out of this world his church today. The Greek word for church, ecclesia, means called out ones. So he's called out a few, and it is a few. The Holy Spirit dwelling in a person is the key that alone can unlock the doors to true spiritual understanding. God's Holy Spirit must be active in a person's mind. You can see in Acts 2 and verse 38 that Peter gave the conditions for receiving the Holy Spirit. What are the conditions for it? Well, here it is, Acts 2 and verse 38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." God's Spirit is only offered to those God is calling at this time. You can see that in John 6 and verse 44. So how many does God call? Does he call billions today? Does he call millions today? Let's look at Luke 12 and verse 32. Luke 12 and verse 32, it says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now, people sometimes take comfort in being in a religion that has millions of people, or sometimes even more than that. And the thinking would be, well, how could all these people be deceived? I mean, look at all of them. There's so many, and they're all in the same religion. How could they be deceived? Remember, though, Satan's the God of this world. Satan deceives this whole world. And here in Luke 12 and verse 32, Christ said his church, made up of people called by God the Father, would be a little flock. A little flock. That's not millions or billions. It's a little flock. Contrary to popular belief, God is not trying to save most people now. So he deliberately inspired the writing of the Bible in such a way that most people would stumble over it and not understand it. And that is also why Jesus spoke in parables, so the masses would not understand him. You can see that in Mark 4, verse 11 and 12. You remember Christ spoke in parables quite often. And then when the crowds would leave, his disciples that he was working with would come to him and say, what exactly were you getting at there? And then he'd explain the parables to them. He was not opening up God's truth to everybody at that time, and it's not being opened up right now either to everybody. And you, though, as a listener, by virtue of the fact that you are listening to this program, that you listen to KPCG, hopefully you're enrolled in the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, and it's free at thetrumpet.com, you're learning to piece the Bible together, here a little and there a little, as it says. Like a giant jigsaw puzzle, like putting it together, and are beginning to see the beautiful picture that it presents. And by studying the Bible, you are gaining more and more insight into the mind of God. God is opening up the minds of some people. And if you're listening, and if you're interested, and if you're looking into it, well, chances are you're one of those people. And if you continue to understand it, it's because you are showing yourself willing to humbly accept what God reveals to you. And that includes correction. And that includes correction for everybody that studies the Word of God. See, we need to look into the Word of God, and we need to be corrected by it, and then we need to do what it says. And as we do that, and as God's working with us through the power of His Holy Spirit, after baptism in particular, but even calling some that aren't baptized yet and beginning to open their minds, if we work and we really apply the Word of God and we change and we do what it says, then we understand more and more. And more of it's opened up to our understanding. But remember what Peter said in Acts 2 and verse 38, repent. See, there's repentance involved. And it means looking into the Word of God and using it and letting it change us and correct us. And if we at some point along the way say, well, I don't want to change, I don't want to repent, then the Bible begins to be closed off to our understanding. So if you're beginning to understand the Word of God, don't take it for granted. Don't take it lightly. Make sure that you make the changes that you need to make. And of course, that's every human needs to make changes. So we're all in this together, growing and developing and letting the Word of God change us and correct us. So it's exciting when the Bible begins to be opened up to your understanding. And as long as you keep growing and changing, and we all do that, and then we can understand more and more of the Word of God. So until next time, let's put this into practice. Let's strive to live by every word of God. You're listening to Trumpet Radio here on 101.3 KPCG.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.